May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Today marks the culmination of 8 months of Bible study, meeting with mentors to work on statements of faith, lots of lessons and videos. It marks the end of makeup work and homework for church. You got to finish your schoolwork yet. It marks the end of having to remember your backpack when you come to church. Today marks the end of confirmation for the year. Today, confirmation class ends, yes, but I need you to understand that nothing is over. Like so many of the most important moments in life, today is an end and a beginning. You finished fifth grade and didn't quit going to school. Some of you will finish eighth grade in a couple of weeks and move right on into high school. Someday you'll get married, and that will end an engagement, but not a relationship. As Christians, we believe that even death is both an end and a beginning. The most important moments of life are both. Today, confirmation is over, but nothing. I messed that line up. Try that again, Audrey. Today, confirmation is finished, but nothing is over. Now, you'll remember that after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, the Holy Spirit came to the church on, I'm looking at you guys, Pentecost, thank you. And Jesus' presence on earth and among the disciples was finished, right? Jesus had left them. But the work was not over. Far from it. The Spirit came and empowered the disciples to share the good news of Jesus with others. Now, our scripture reading for today was written to encourage one of those early Christian communities. And it talks about the relationship between belief and action. Now, have you ever known someone whose actions didn't quite back up what they say? It can be startling and upsetting when there's incongruence between words and deeds. When that happens, which do you take as truth? What they say or what they do? I'm actually asking you. What they do, right? We trust the actions, don't we? Now, John writes that this is also true for the life of faith. Jesus showed us what love looks like by laying down his life. Certainly, he offered loving words as well, but his actions are what really showed us what God looks like. And this is how John says it should be for followers of Jesus too. Our actions should demonstrate our belief. In fact, John tells us that we should follow Jesus' lead by laying down our lives for one another. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know a lot of folks who are super excited about laying their lives down. But we can think about this more broadly than matters of life and death. We can lay down our lives in any number of ways. Anytime we choose to put someone else's needs before our own desires. Laying down our lives means doing what you otherwise wouldn't have to do, but you choose to do it because you remember what Jesus has done for us. This might look like inviting someone sitting alone to join you at lunch. It might look like intervening to disrupt gossip or the bullying of a classmate. It might look like putting down your phone and really listening to somebody who needs someone to hear their story. It might look like showing patience with a younger sibling, or like taking your elderly neighbor's trash can up from the street. You all are bright kids. I'm sure you can come up with other examples too. Today, in just a moment, you will profess your faith with your lips. But it is the work of love, the actions that follow your confirmation service that will truly confirm that you are following the ways of Jesus. After all, the church's proclamation, Jesus Christ is Lord, would be lost in the noise pretty quickly if it weren't accompanied by rolling up our sleeves to show what it looks like to follow Jesus. And we all have access to faith because even after Jesus had returned to heaven, the church recognized that though their time with Jesus in the flesh was finished, nothing was over. There was work to do. And now it is our turn to do that same work. Now, there's an elephant in the room that I'm really not supposed to mention because it's kind of a bummer, and we're supposed to be celebrating today. I'm going to do it anyway. And that elephant is that sometimes when confirmation is finished, everything actually is over. There are some who treat confirmation as the final step in their journey with the church. There's baptism and infancy, and then those cute little vacation Bible school years, then confirmation, and then it's on to other things. The church in the rearview mirror. There are parents who tell their children, you just have to go through confirmation and then you can be done. There are children who think to themselves, I'll go through this because it's important to my grandma, but then I'm done. There are those who misunderstand that confirmation is somehow a magical process that secures your soul for eternity, a free get to heaven card. But none of that is right or true. Now, not all of you shared your statements of faith in worship. That was your choice. But I've read them all. And you need to know that a consistent theme across them was some version of, at church, people are nice to me. At church, the drama of my friends and school melts away. At church, everyone is loved. Well, you all got that right. We do love you. Your own statements indicate that you know it is good for you to be here. Please do not let this be the last time we see you or the last season we see you consistently. You are loved here. You are wanted here. You are needed here. We are better with you here. Now, parents, nothing is over for you today either. These kids are making an important decision for themselves today, but we cannot abandon them once we hand them their certificates. They may not want to come to church next week, or the next, or in the fall when Sunday school begins again, and that's okay. They don't have to want to any more than they have to want to go to school, or brush their teeth, or turn off the video game when we say it's time. Today they make an important decision for themselves, and I could not be prouder of them, truly. But parents, despite their growing independence, they still do not always know what's best for them. They need your continued support, which may look like a gentle or even a firm nudge. Don't listen to what they say when you ask them if they want to go. Listen to how they are when they're here. Listen to what they say when they get home. And don't ask them if they had fun. That's not the right question. Usually they do. They lie to you if they say they don't. I've been with them. They're having fun. Don't ask them if they had fun. Ask them if it was worthwhile. Ask them if their time was meaningful. And don't give your parents a hard time. Tell them the truth. After all, we would never allow children to sign up for soccer, go through the tryouts, make the team, and then pop in once or twice a year. Because you're needed on the soccer team, right? And you're needed here too. I told the confirmants, and I've told them again this morning, that the church needs them. And that's true, but it's also true that these children still need the church. They still need us. We all need the church our whole lives long. Confirmation is finished. Nothing is over. Another reason it's important to keep bringing them to church is so that they can see that the church is where we do back up our words with action. And then we have to actually do that. I think we do that pretty well around here. Keep bringing them to Sunday school, where they will be with one another, friends who are trying to navigate what it means to be a follower of Jesus in a world that is often scary and selfish and cruel. Keep bringing them to worship. Let them hear the reading of the scriptures and the proclamation of the word. Let them be formed by the rich theology of our hymns. And let them see you here too, being formed as well. Let them see that when your world is crashing down around you, as life does to all of us now and then, let them see you here bowing your head in prayer. Let them see how the church supports one another. They will learn to trust God more and more as they see that is where the adults around them turn when things are unraveling. And now to the church. Those of you who aren't mom and dad, I know you are delighted to have these young people as members. But there's a challenge here for us too. They are not going to care about the same things you and I care about. They are not going to see our traditions the way that we see them. And they are going to allow some things to die that we hope they wouldn't. They are going to ask us to do things differently, and we're not going to like it. Again, all of that is okay. But we made promises to them when their parents held them right there in their arms just 10 minutes ago, right? And we will reaffirm those same promises today. We have promised to nurture them and position them to inherit the faith that has been passed on to us when we said no to traditions that the generations above us held as important. Our promise to them does not mean that just anything goes and that we must surrender all that older generations cherish. Certainly not. But it does mean that these kids have an equal stake and share in what this church does and how we live out our mission. This means that every one of us, all of us, the kids being confirmed today and those who are a little more seasoned, we must keep top of mind what our mission is and what isn't actually integral to the mission, but we all just kind of like. And we must ask ourselves, as the years roll on by, what would we not be willing to let go of so that these children have access to the faith, and likewise the children that come after them? We must remember what I'm telling the confirmants today. Even as we retire ministries and traditions of the church, it doesn't mean anything is over. The church still has work to do. And we must also remember that these kids will also be looking to us to model how to let go of things you care about. We'll be leading there as well. And they'll be watching to see if our deeds actually match what we say matters most. Confirmands, we took your group photo this morning during rehearsal, and it will soon get it printed and put in its frame that matches the other 854 confirmands from the 81 confirmation classes from this church's 118 years of existence. Yes, I counted them all. You will be memorialized in the history hallway until the day that Jesus returns. Now, before funeral services, while I'm waiting for it to come in, I often sit back there in the history hallway, and I often see families huddled around the confirmation pictures. And usually there's a grandparent there finding himself for a child, finding their class and showing their grandchild, here I am, and over here is your uncle. Now someday, you may find yourself back there with your own grandchildren and marveling at how young you all look there behind the glass. These pictures, they capture one moment in time, an end and a beginning. It is our sincere prayer that you'll be able to tell those young people looking to you for guidance, watching to see if your words and actions match. It's our prayer that you'll be able to tell them, "That was the moment I promised to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world. And that is why the church is still an important part of our lives today." Congratulations, kids. Today, you've finished confirmation. Today, we welcome you as Bethlehem confirmation graduates, numbers 855 to 863. A new beginning. Thanks be to God. Amen.